Welcome everybody to another episode of the Sleeper Wire Podcast. Yeah, we are back and we are ready to talk about fantasy football. We got a lot going for you. I'm your host, Nick Summerall, and with me today is my co-host is none other than Professor Chris. Chris, thank you for joining me today. How are you, bud?
I'm awesome. I am pumped to be on another show, man. It's been a while since I've been on the main show.
We were on the main show last week together. We were talking to Nan.
You know what? A week is so long, man.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I can think of people who've not been around for a lot longer.
I'm just trying to say I'm excited to be here.
Well, good. Maybe that's what you should have said first, huh? and this is a good episode to be on today, because today, guys, we have our Sleeper Wire rankings available at sleeperwire.com/rankings, of course. And you guys can take a look at our rankings, see where we have guys. And, you know, this is a time where people are going to spend their time looking at rankings and stats and really diving deep to figure out who the best guy I should draft at what spot. You know, this is the time to do that. And so we're going to be breaking down today each position, the top 12 in our rankings. And Chris and I have some of our own personal rankings not available on sleepwire.com yet. They will be available soon. But that's what we're going to be doing. So, Chris, I mean, is there a position that you feel like maybe differs the most with what we have up at Sleepwire?
You know, it all seems fairly standard. It gets a little bit different towards the end of the top 12 with each position. But it's really not much of a difference between the first 12 for anybody's rankings for the most part. Just the order might be slightly different.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I don't think that there's – like, I don't think there's a – listen, don't be surprised that our rankings will be similar to most with the top six players in each position, because that's what you're going to see across the board just about. Maybe a few discrepancies at the tight end position only because there's really only a few maybe sure things going for you. But, you know, once it gets past – you know, once it gets a running back, receiver, you know – I mean, listen, we're not going to fault you for taking one of the top six guys, or at least top three, as your first overall pick in receiver running back position. So before we get to the show and the meat of what everybody's like dying to hear today, we got some big news. You know, we've been saying it for the past couple of weeks now. I'm talking the Sleepwire Pro-Am League. Chris, I mean, we did a kickball draft style with all of the experts drafting them to our own divisions, and I thought that was a lot of fun, and I think that we have some strong divisions. Mine stronger. but you know, but we picked through experts and got them into our own league. And what's exciting is that not only do we have experts in this league, but we're going to have you guys, the fans out there, be a part of it. Now, Chris, how can they get involved with the Sleeperwire Pro-Am League?
You can get involved with the Sleeperwire Pro-Am League by going to sleeperwire.com/pro-am. It has all the details there on how to enter. Basically, what you're going to need to do is donate some money to the whole cause for Sleeperwire, which is our good buddy Rob, who's been struggling with chronic Lyme disease, needs money to help pay for his treatments. You go to his GoFundMe, donate at least $10. Every multiple of $10 gets you a raffle ticket. So if you donate $30, that's three raffle tickets into the Pro-Am. Then you can submit that back on sleeperwire.com/pro-am. Submit the information, the name that you submitted the donation under and everything like that, and then you're entered into the contest. So super easy, and it goes for a great cause.
Exactly. I mean, guys, come on. What are you waiting for? Just go ahead. You still got time to make it into the Pro-Am League. There are still spots that needed to be filled, guys. And as Chris mentioned, it's for a great cause. So please, guys, sleeperwire.com/pro-am. All right, Chris, let's jump into it. Let's get into these rankings. So
let's do it.
Let's do it. First up, let's do quarterbacks. Okay? And now, listen, these are preseason rankings. They will be adjusted as training camps get a little deeper. You know, we have preseason games started up. You know, there'll be some changes possibly. But I think the top 12 are, fair to say, pretty close to what we're looking at here, right?
I don't know about the entire top 12. I would say maybe the first seven, but not the whole top 12.
For the quarterback position, you think?
For the quarterback position, yeah. I was thinking back at the question that you asked me at the beginning, and I would say quarterback and running back. Once you get past the first six, mine start to split apart a little bit.
Okay. Running back, I can agree with, too. I mean, running back position is where I have some differences as well. But, you know, for quarterback, so we have Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I mean, pretty obvious. You know, those are the two quarterbacks you want. At least if you're going to try and draft him early. As we've mentioned on the show here before, we're not fans of drafting quarterbacks early. However, if a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady are sitting there, I don't know, Chris, for me, it'd be the third round, possibly. I might be tempted to grab, especially in my keeper league.
I'd say third round is the first round that it's not too early for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if Rodgers, I'm not going to take him in the third. If he's there and I'm at the end of the fourth, then yeah, I think that's good value. But
oh yeah,
third round is where it's okay to start looking at a quarterback.
Right, and I normally don't do that personally. But again, I mean, these guys are they can be the difference between winning a week and losing just because of how much they pass the ball on their respected teams and what they can do for you on any given week. So they have more upside than probably any of the quarterbacks listed below them. But let's continue down the list. So number three, we have Drew Brees, followed by Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. Those are the top six right there. You know, for me personally, I was looking at this and I actually moved Derek Carr into my top six. I like him better than Russell Wilson. You know, Kirk Cousins is close for me. That's something I might actually change. I might put – I have a feeling I like Kirk Cousins even more than Russell Wilson this year. But what do you think of that? Do you have any differences between the sleeper wire rankings there?
Oh, actually, those top six are my top six. In a slightly different order, I have Andrew Luck number two rather than, I believe, number four, which is where he's sitting in the sleeper wire rankings. Basically, I have Luck and Brady flipped. So Luck two, oh. Brady four for me.
Wow. Okay. What's your reasoning there?
Because when Luck is fully healthy and plays a full season, he puts up top two numbers. Remember, he wasn't healthy last season. He missed a game due to a concussion, and he still had that throwing shoulder injury, but he still finishes the number four quarterback. So you take out that game where he had the concussion, and then he gets bumped up. So I think Luck can finish top two again. Now, granted, that might change if he doesn't come off the PUP list at the end of preseason. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Now, I mean, listen, I there's nothing really wrong that you said there. I mean, Andrew Luck definitely posts, you know, elite numbers when he's healthy. However, I mean, with the situation Tom Brady has going into this season in particular, with the addition of Brandon Cooks, with really LeGarrette Blount gone, so that they're not going to have to rely on guys like Mike Gillisley to be that power back. And I really don't think Gillisley is better than LeGarrette Blount in the red zone. So I think they're just going to have to pass the ball more, get James White involved from the backfield. You know, they even have Rex Burkhead there at the moment. So you really don't think that they're going to be passing even more than they were last year?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they are. I mean, they are a passing team, but I do think the Colts are going to have a really good offense and maybe have an even better offense. I think the Patriots will still have a better defense. So if it came down to, you know, one of my dreaded matchups where the Colts play the Patriots in the playoffs, which I hate when that happens, you know, the Patriots do have a better defense, unfortunately. But I think the Colts are going to be able to put up more offensive numbers.
Okay. Well, listen, like I personally – and again, my rankings will probably have to will you know have some facelifts between now and the beginning of the regular season. I can see myself moving Andrew Luck above Drew Brees, but I don't see myself moving Andrew Luck over Tom Brady. But that's just me.
Now, I want to go back to your Derek Carr in the top six. I do like Derek Carr a lot, but my only issue with that is that I'm looking back at his stats from last season. I'm just looking at the PPR standard for ESPN. Looking against the AFC West, there was only one game where he had more than 20 points.
It's very true.
Against the AFC West, and that was the Chargers in Week 5. Kansas City in Week 6, he had 9.8. Denver in Week 9, he had 7.7. Kansas City in Week 14, 5. Chargers in Week 15, 11. Week 17 was Denver, but he wasn't playing that game. So I'll throw that one out. But only one out of the five games he finished with 22 points. So that's, I don't know, that's not really what you want.
In a six-touchdown league?
Yeah, six-point passing, yep. I think that's a little rich for me.
Well, I mean, listen, like, I just feel like I would rather have Derek Carr than Russell Wilson, first off. Kirk Cousins is one of those guys I'm thinking, you know, once I go through the rankings again, this was my rough draft first rankings. I might be more inclined to maybe put Kirk Cousins above Derek Carr. Honestly, maybe move him in that top six category. But I like Derek Carr better than Russell Wilson. I just like what the offense brings. I think that Marshawn Lynch can open up, you know, the defense, maybe not have them so stacked or, you know, against the pass. They'll have to respect the run game there. I just think it allows Derek Carr to be able to, you know, spread the ball a little bit. It's just maybe Amari Cooper does better this year. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Amari Cooper, so it does kind of contradict what, you know, how I feel about Amari Cooper, but how I feel about Derek Carr. So, but I don't know. I just have this. It's more probably gut feeling for Derek Carr than it is statistics.
I do think the Raiders have a better offense than the Seahawks. I'm not going to argue that. I just as a for someone in the quarterback position, I would be more leaning towards streaming a quarterback those six games that he plays against the AFC West.
Yeah. Maybe with Derek Carr. Maybe once you get past Matt Ryan, you know, the top five of quarterbacks, maybe this is where you start to at least tamper with the idea of drafting a quarterback or, like you said, playing the matchups with certain matchups for Derek Carr and the like. But, you know, I think we can safely say the top five are the top five in our quarterback rankings. I really don't think you can go wrong with either one. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So going on, though, in our sleeper wire rankings, so Russell Wilson was the sixth in our sleeper wire rankings. Then you have Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Big Ben, Marcus Mariota, and Dak Prescott rounding out that top 12. So for me, I had Russell Wilson 7, Kirk Cousins 8, Jameis Winston 9, Ben Roethlisberger 10, Marcus Mariota 11, and Cam Newton 12. So really not a huge difference here as far as what I'm seeing. The only biggest one so far was me for Derek Carr. You know, but it's you know, and again, I've been thinking about maybe moving Kirk Cousins up above Russell Wilson just because I do like what Kirk Cousins has this year as opposed to Russell Wilson. Yeah, I mean, he's got Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin, but I mean,
Cousins was the number five quarterback last year.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins, he was top five. So it's you know, that's why I'm saying I can see myself moving Kirk Cousins up even a little more.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and then it's interesting that Dak Prescott made it to 12 here. That's when I saw that. That's why I was like, I'd rather have Cam Newton over Dak Prescott. I mean, Cam Newton is 13 here as opposed to Dak Prescott being 12. For me, I just flipped them. But is that something you feel more comfortable with, having Dak Prescott over Cam Newton?
No, I have Cam Newton over Dak Prescott in my personal rankings as well. Neither of them are in my top 12, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I do have Cam higher. Mine, number 7, I had Kirk Cousins. So I think that's, you know, that lines right up with the rankings. Derek Carr, I had 8. So it's not like I was really dogging on you for having him at 6. Like, I have him at 8. I still really like him. I like a few guys better. Marcus Mariota at 9 instead of 11. Philip Rivers at 10. I've got him in my top 10. The Sleepwire rankings have him at 14. So I think that's a pretty big discrepancy. Stafford at 11. And Roethlisberger at 12. I don't have Dak Prescott until my number 16. I'm not really a huge believer in Dak Prescott.
Wow. Okay. So let's recap what you just said, because there's a couple things I'm curious about. You know, I like Marcus Mariota. Where you have him, that's somebody that I've been that I'm thinking about moving up in my rankings as well. He's a guy I'm high on. I just love what they did this offseason to help him out, drafting Corey Davis with the 5th overall pick, signing Eric Decker. I mean, they just added so much more aerial weapons for this guy. And as long as he's healthy, I think he could easily be a top 5 quarterback this year. So he's a guy I really do want to move up. Now, you said you have Phillip Rivers and Matthew Stafford in your top 12.
10 and 11.
Yeah, I can't see myself getting those guys. And where did you have Jameis Winston in your top 12?
No, I didn't.
See, that's another one I don't agree with either. I mean, so let me start first with your thoughts on why you have. I mean, I can see the argument for Phillip Rivers, okay? I get the weapons that are there. I mean, Mike Williams will probably be out for the whole year, which sucks. But as long as Keenan Allen's healthy, they have Tyrell Williams. I mean, I can get that argument, okay? So let's not go into Phillip Rivers. That one I can kind of see. Matthew Stafford, I have a hard time seeing. So tell me what made you think that you know, putting Matthew Stafford in the top 12 was the right call for your rankings?
You know, I just think that there's such a passing team in Detroit. Eric Ebron is going to emerge this year. I know we've been waiting for him to break out, but I think this is the year that he finally takes a step up into the next tier. I don't think he's going to be elite, but takes a little bit of a step up. Marvin Jones is still a touchdown threat. Golden Tate is great for PPR. Theo Riddick and Abdullah are also great in the passing game. Stafford just always – he's thrown the ball a lot for his career. He always puts up more than 4,000 passing yards, and I think it's going to be a big year for him. I know last year it was kind of down because he only had 24 touchdowns. If you go back and look at season by season, he can easily put up 29, 32, around there. Back in 2011, he put up 41 touchdowns. I mean, this guy can throw and likes to throw, and I think this year is going to be a good year for him.
The way I look at it is like – if I were going to take Matthew Stafford, right, you're basically saying because you rank him in your top 12, I have to spend, you know, these guys, say, let's look at the sleepwear rankings real quick. So, you know, you got guys like, we have Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Marcus Mariota, Dak Prescott. Those are the guys in the sleepwear rankings that are at the bottom half of the top 12. These are guys, with, you know, that you're getting probably sixth round to about the 10th round. So, you know, and you had Matthew Stafford where, 11?
Yes. Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, I'm sorry, but I would rather definitely take, if I can get him, like a Marcus Mariota in the 9th round. You know, I'd still rather have Cam Newton in the 9th round. I mean, Phillip Rivers is going around that according to, you know, ADP. I mean, these are guys that I just would much rather have.
Well, yeah,
in those rounds, and Matthew Stafford.
I have Mariota ahead of Matthew Stafford, so that's not. I totally agree. I'd take Mariota in the 9th over Stafford in the 11th. But if Mariota got scooped, then I would have no problem with Stafford being my QB1.
I just know Matthew Stafford is consistent on a week to week basis.
Yeah, but he finished as the QB7 last year. I mean, it's not like he was awful.
I'm not saying he was awful. I'm just saying I want more consistency, I think, at my quarterback position than Matthew Stafford. And I don't think he provides the consistency. All right, so let's jump into wide receivers. So we have Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones. I mean, that's pretty typical, and I really don't care if somebody has Odell Beckham first, Julio first. It really becomes preference at that point.
You can make arguments for any of these five guys, the first five, to be taken as the first wide receiver.
Yeah, for me, it's always going to be Antonio Brown because I just feel like he's a safer option than the three. You know, you could argue Odell, but for me, it's Antonio. And then let's continue on. We have Mike Evans, AJ Green, Jordy Nelson. That rounds out the top 6. I don't have any discrepancy with that. What about you, Chris? Do you have any difference?
I've got Green 4 and Evans 5, but yeah, there's not much of a difference.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I mean, again, I think that comes down to preference. I don't think that comes down to like, I wouldn't say that there's going to be a drastic difference between AJ Green and Mike Evans' points by the end of the year. I don't think so, at least.
No, and looking back at last year, the difference between the number 4 wide receiver and the number 5 wide receiver was 23 points, which sounds all 23 points, it sounds like a lot, but that's barely more than 1 point per game.
Exactly. Right. When you break that up into 13 games, you know, well, 16 really. 16, really. I'm thinking the regular season for fantasy is 13 games, but yeah, of course you have to take it to playoffs as well. So yeah, when you break that down to 16 games, it's not a lot. Then after Jordy Nelson, we have Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Thomas, Doug Baldwin, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas. Oh, see, you really did just update these because I certainly had Doug Baldwin above Amari Cooper as well. I remember the last time I was looking at these, Amari Cooper was above Doug Baldwin at 10, so that's definitely changed. But otherwise...
Yes, I made sure to update these today for the show.
There you go, smart man. But one, you know, still some discrepancy I have here. I have DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen at 11 and 12. I would just much rather bank on their upside over guys like Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas. Amari Cooper, you know, it's just, like I said, I'm kind of contradicting myself here because I said, you know, I like Derek Carr. Well, Amari Cooper is like their number one receiver, even though Michael Crabtree is the one who usually, you know, is a successor of getting points. But Amari Cooper is definitely going to be one of the, you know, his top receiving options. And, you know, you would think, then that means Amari Cooper should see an uptick in his production. But I still think DeAndre Hopkins, he's not getting Brock Osweiler thrown to him this year. That's got to be an improvement already.
Right. I don't think Amari Cooper finishes in the top 12.
You really?
No.
So, like I said, the biggest difference here for me is DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen in 11 and 12. They make my top 12. What about you? Do you have any big differences here?
I don't have Hopkins in my top 12. I've got him as my number 13, so I still do like him. I have Alshon at 11 and Keenan Allen at 12.
Okay, so we do agree with Keenan Allen then.
Yes.
Yeah, I think as long as he's healthy, I think he's absolutely a wide receiver one, especially in PPR. You know, which, by the way, now that I think about it, did we even specify these rankings? Are they either?
These rankings are in PPR.
Yep. PPR formats. Okay.
Right. And the reason for that is PPR is just way more common. And last year, whenever, like, the last year's rankings, they were in standard. And every week, it was like, do you guys have PPR rankings? And that's the biggest question that we got. I was like, no, sorry. I'll change it for next year. But I know Amari Cooper finished as number 13 last year, but looking at the guys I had ahead of him, Hopkins had Osweiler throwing to him, and that was just awful. I think Hopkins is better. Keenan Allen wasn't healthy. I think Keenan Allen's going to have a better season. Alshon Jeffrey had some nagging injuries, but he was suspended. These are reasons why Amari Cooper finished as the number 13 wide receiver. Allen Robinson had a down year. That's another reason why Amari Cooper finished so high. So I don't think he even finishes number 13. I have him at number 14 right now. I wouldn't be surprised if the guys I have right behind him, Robinson, Landry, Watkins, and Demaryius Thomas, all finish ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, I got Amari Cooper as my 14th. I, too, have Alshon Jeffrey ahead, but as my 13th receiver.
Yeah.
So, which isn't, you know, a big difference either. But, you know, yeah, I have Amari Cooper. And then I have Demaryius Thomas, who in the Sleepwire rankings is listed as 12. I have him as my 15th. I just think that and I can see myself maybe moving Allen Robinson up because I have him as my 18th. I probably want Allen Robinson over Demaryius Thomas when it comes to it in the draft. Like, if I have to pick between those two, that's probably where I'd go to is Allen Robinson. But, you know, Demaryius Thomas is just – it's quarterback play. It's scary there. Not that Blake Bortles isn't scary on his own right, but it just feels like Denver is going to be going into like a rebuild mode real quick. You get that feeling?
Yeah, I know Demaryius is one of the elite wide receivers, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but they just don't have a passing game out in Denver, and I don't trust him to finish as a top 12 wide receiver. He didn't last year. I mean, the situation hasn't really changed.
So, no, you still got Trevor Siemian there and Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, I have him as my number 15 as well. I'd take him over Landry, Watkins, and Robinson, but I don't think he's going to – I don't have him as a wide receiver one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree there. Well, you know, we just talked about Antonio Brown just a bit ago. You know, we said right now he's the number one receiver in our rankings. But you know what's really cool that involves Antonio Brown is our contest to win an autographed Antonio Brown jersey. Now, that's something pretty neat, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's awesome. Can I have it?
No. But you know what? The fans get a chance to win one. And, you know, they do that by going to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find our podcast. Take a screenshot or a picture of you putting up a 5-star review of Sleepawire, and you email that to sleepawire@gmail.com. And that'll enter you into a raffle for a chance to win that autographed Antonio Brown jersey sponsored by PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. That place is great, man. You know, I've said this before, and hell, I'm going to brag about it again. I've got two autographed jerseys. One is Gale Sayers in this really nice frame, and I got it for a steal. And then, of course, I got my Jordan Howard signed jersey, which is, again, nice frame. It's basically like almost going to take up like half of like a standard wall, basically, in my house. And it's huge, but I love it. And I also have my Walter Payton signed picture, you know. So that's three running back legends for the Bears. That's right. I'm already calling Jordan Howard a legend. That's how psychotic I can be. Okay, Chris, do you hear me? Do you feel me?
Yeah, I don't know what you want from me.
But that's it. Guys, like I said, you guys got to go and email us a 5-star review that you have personally put up, sleepwire@gmail.com. For more information about this contest, you can follow us on Twitter, at Sleepwire Show, where you can find us on Twitter. All right, now, here, you know what's funny, Chris? I think this is the rankings that probably people have been looking at the most this offseason. It's the – no, guys, sorry. It's not the tight ends. It's not the kickers. It's the running backs. The running back rankings, I think, people have scoured since the end of last season. What do you think of that?
I think people want to know. These are the most common questions that we get on Sleeperbot and Fantasy Life.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, the great debates that we've been doing. You know, most of them this offseason have been running backs because of just the demand – of knowing which running back should I take, which running back is going to be better, which one do I need to get. Well, this is what it is. You know, like, that's why we've been putting out these types of shows. You know, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, until we find out anything about Zeke Elliott getting suspended or whatever the case may be, he's still going to stay there in the top three at this point. And I think you're crazy if you got to move him around at this point, because we don't know anything yet. Agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to even think about moving him. I hate seeing the questions, oh, if Zeke gets suspended, where are you taking him? First off, we don't know if he's getting suspended. Second, we don't know how many games. So there's just no reason to even try to project where he would go, because we don't know what's going to happen with his ADP as that happens either. So, you know, it's either going to be 6 games or no games, because he's either going to get the 6 games for the domestic violence or he's going to get none, unless they decide no domestic violence charge, but we'll give you some for pulling that girl's shirt up, which I don't even know if they're really thinking about at this. I haven't heard them talking about that at all, but it's a minimum 6-game suspension for the domestic violence. So if they give him 2 games for that, he's just going to appeal, and the NFLPA, the Players Association, is going to say, hey, it's either 6 games or none, and you didn't give him 6 games, so you can't give him 2 because that's not what the rule says. So it's pointless to speculate at this time. We don't know anything, so just leave Zeke at 3, and we'll deal with it when we have to deal with it.
Exactly. And listen, guys, you know, another question I've seen a lot, and maybe not totally directed at our show, but just in general, David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell? Guys, really? Does it freaking matter at the end of the day? I mean, like
people are asking us for do a great debate, David Johnson versus Le'Veon Bell. So that's going to be the most boring debate.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. Like, what would be the rebuttal there? Well, yeah.
This guy's good too, but not as good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I like Cardinals better than Steelers.
Yeah. So we've got Bell, DJ, Zeke as our 1, 2, 3. I know David Johnson for the most part is going number one in drafts, but you know you can make an argument for any one of these three. So let's go ahead and move on.
Yeah. What? Just one quick last thing, Chris. You know, there's been some chatter too. Le'Veon Bell might do a holdout because he wants more money. You know, he wants a better contract and whatever because he's playing on the franchise tag. Listen, like, until there's more news about that, until we see, like, him sitting out of training camp and not participating in preseason games and whatever, you know, maybe that's when we'll start to talk about more of that, too. But as of right now, don't panic. It's just like the Ezekiel Elliott thing, like we just talked about. You know, don't panic yet.
I will say this. There was an alert today that the Steelers had their conditioning run at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and Le'Veon Bell was not there, and he's expected to be away from camp for several weeks. So we do have a bit of an update there. He was not at their first conditioning.
Okay. Well, like I said, this is something that we'll have to address when we get more information. And at this point, with training camps literally – just opening up this week, we can't give you anything.
Yeah, what I just said is literally all we know.
Exactly.
He didn't show up to training, or he didn't show up to conditioning today. We'll get back to you tomorrow.
Right. So let's continue on. So 4, 5, and 6, we have LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, and Devontae Freeman in that order in the Sleeper Wire rankings. You know, me personally, I have LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, and Jordan Howard. You know, in the Sleeper Wire rankings, we have Jordan Howard here at number 7, Devontae Freeman 6. I like, listen, I mean, I've touted up Jordan Howard all off season. This has been my guy. This is the one I'm, you know, I've literally chained myself to either like ride or die to, you know, like either I'm going to look like a genius because he did, you know, what I thought he would do this season, or he's going to do shit. And I'm going to, you know, whatever. I'll get made fun of. It's not a big deal. But this is my guy. And I think that for me, what hinders Devontae Freeman a tiny bit, is just because he does have Tevin Coleman there, you know, taking some of the workload from him. Yeah, he still put up the numbers, Tevin Coleman, and so did Freeman with him there. But that was a Kyle Shanahan offense. And I Jordan Howard has nobody to eat into his workload. So that's why I have Jordan Howard where I have him, as opposed to Freeman. What about you? Do you have any differences there, though, in 4, 5, 6?
I've got Melvin 4 and McCoy 5. Okay. Aside from that, no.
Okay. All right. So, you know, which is understandable, too. I still think you're fine with either of these guys. I really don't think this is a problem yet. Like, I don't think this is, you know, to panic. Maybe it's not a sure thing, like 1 through 3, as far as the running backs. But they're still pretty consistent playmakers that you'd love to have as your RB1. So let's continue on. So Sleeper Wire Rankings has Jordan Howard 7, DeMarco Murray 8, Jay Ajayi 9, Fournette 10, Lamar Miller 12. Lamar Miller 11 and Todd Gurley 12. So for me, I have Devontae Freeman 7, DeMarco Murray 8, Todd Gurley 9, JJ 10, Leonard Fournette 11, and Marshawn Lynch 12. That rounds up my top 12. What about you, Chris?
I have Murray 7 and Jordan Howard 8. I know that's might be a bit of a shock to some people who are Jordan Howard believers like yourself. I do like DeMarco Murray still a little bit. Leonard Fournette 9, Isaiah Crowell 10, and then Gurley and Miller are my 11 and 12. So those are the flipped from Lamar and Gurley that we have in the Sleeper Wire rankings. But yeah, I don't have Jay Ajayi in my top 12. I have him number 14. I do not like Jay Ajayi as an RB1.
I keep trying to push Jay Ajayi down further, just because you know I don't like Jay Ajayi either. But I got a little stuck because I was like, you know, I don't like Lamar Miller this year. I'm not a Lamar Miller believer. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's like, I know we had Brock Osweiler there in Houston last year, so he made the whole offense terrible. But you think Lamar Miller can really pick it up, like, and play like he did in Miami for the
yes,
Texans?
Yes, I do. Yep, I think he finishes as an RB1. I would be happy to draft Lamar Miller. He's going currently now in the third. If I went wide receiver to start. So if I started and I got, say Antonio Brown and then Doug Baldwin in the second round, and then it gets back to me and Lamar Miller's there, I'd be totally okay with having him as my number one.
See, I have Lamar Miller as my 14th running back. You know, I have Isaiah Crowell above him at 13. And like I mentioned, I have Marshawn Lynch in, you know, my top 12. I just Marshawn Lynch, I think, is somebody I can see myself moving down. But I do like Marshawn Lynch. It's just I have this feeling, though, in the pit of my stomach that he probably won't end up finishing as a top 12 because he's probably not going to be the guy for the whole year. But I don't believe in Jalen Richard or DeAndre Washington either.
There was a report that they're going to give him that they might limit him to 200 carries.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's training camp hadn't even started at that point.
Yeah, training camp hasn't started. And, you know, I mean, listen, if Raiders are, you know, down and they need a guy like Marshawn Lynch who's, like, being, you know, productive for them and actually, you know, you know what that reminds me of, Chris? Remember when a couple of years ago when Frank Gore came to the Colts and they said, we're going to limit his touches so that we have him for the playoffs, right? Remember that whole conversation? How did that work out? Frank Gore was given a lot more work than they said they were going to. So that could very well happen with a guy like Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, I can see myself moving Jay Ajayi down personally. That's one I have to work on in my rankings. And maybe I can move up Lamar Miller. I don't know. And where did you have Isaiah Crowell, you said?
Number 10.
Number 10. Okay.
I think he's a top 10 guy.
Okay. I can kind of get behind that. I mean, would you – so you're saying you would draft Isaiah Crowell before – well, where did you have Todd Gurley in your rankings?
11.
11.
Yep. So I've got Crowell, Gurley, Miller at 10, 11, 12.
Okay. So you would draft Crowell before Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I would. I mean, because I like him more. And Gurley's going a full round earlier. So I can get a guy I like just basically the same amount. I mean, there's not much of a difference between, like, we're nitpicking between 10 and 11 at this point. But if I can get him a full round later and I like him slightly more, yeah, I'm going to take him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get. Yeah. Yeah, we really are nitpicking. See, you know, man, you should see some of my later rankings in running back. Do I hate Carlos Hyde? I have him as my RB28.
I've got him at 21, but that's likely to change when he gets cut.
Yeah, right. When he gets cut, he won't be on my rankings at all, unless he signs with another team.
Right.
You know.
Other teams would be dumb not to try to sign him. I mean, Carlos Hyde is a really good running back. The 49ers are just sick of him not being healthy.
I'll tell you what. I could see him, if they do cut him, I could see him being a part of the Ravens' backfield.
God, what a mess that would be.
Well, right? Like, they don't have enough running backs?
Yeah. Yeah, they just signed Bobby Rainey, too.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's just more like competition at the position. I really, you know, I don't know. Man, Ravens just stockpile running backs that they know nothing about what to do with. But here we go, guys. We're going to get into our last skill position. We're going to get into tight ends, okay? So, of course, you got Gronk at number one, followed by Travis Kelce, two, Jordan Reed at three, and Greg Olsen at four. I don't really see a difference here for me. I didn't move around anything here. I think that's about the right order. Maybe Jordan Reed above Travis Kelce, only because I think Jordan Reed can score more touchdowns. But what does slightly, you know, put me off is that Reed can't stay healthy for a full season.
The Chiefs' release of Macklin vaulted Kelce to my number one.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I still, you know, with Macklin not there, I still don't think Kelsey's going to get the touchdowns to make him.
Yeah, we're going to disagree there. I think he takes a step up.
Okay. Yeah, we are going to disagree there because, I mean, he hasn't done it yet in his career. He's had 4, 5, and 5. So I don't see him going much more touchdowns than that. Maybe 6. Maybe.
He still finished as the number one tight end last year. 4 with touchdowns, Gronk hurt. But he's still at 1,100. Yeah, but Gronk's hurt every year. I mean, he's not.
He's not hurt every year.
Yes,
the year before he played a full season. What are you talking about?
Gronk hasn't played a full 16 since 2011.
What, he missed
played
one game?
15 last year.
Oh, sorry.
That's still
sorry.
He hasn't
sorry.
Played. He hasn't
That's
had
one
an,
game.
He hasn't had an uninjured season since 2011.
I bet what was the one game? A concussion? I mean, everybody gets a concussion these days in the NFL. Everybody. So, of course, everybody's going to miss one game. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna nitpick that a guy misses one game is not a full season. That's just about close enough to me. I'm sorry, but Gronk is Gronk until he's not Gronk anymore. And I will not move Gronk out of the number one spot because you know what a red zone threat he is, and Travis Kelce's just not a red zone threat. That's a huge difference in points.
And I think he steps up to that this year.
Well, maybe
who else
he does.
Is the red zone threat?
I don't know. Tyreek Hill?
Is he a red zone threat, though? He's a big play threat.
Who knows?
He's a running threat and a return threat.
That's a thing. Maybe he'll, you know, because of his speed, he'll take it down to the house. You know, who knows how Kareem Hunt's going to be, you know, if he takes over for Spencer Ware. You know, maybe there'll be another wide receiver that steps up. I don't know. But all I know is that historically, Travis Kelce has not been a red zone threat. And last year, Jeremy Maclin wasn't even 100% healthy.
Kelce caught Maclin was taking
the red zone threat.
Kelce caught one third of Alex Smith's touchdowns.
Well, then that's pretty pathetic as well. I mean, so that's another problem. Alex Smith doesn't throw touchdowns.
Right. He only threw 15. I'm not sure what his career high is. Let me check on that real quick because I like being able to pull up stats and not be incorrect about it.
So while you look that up, see, that's the other problem is you got Alex Smith there. Okay, maybe I'll tell you what. If Patrick Mahomes comes in and he starts, you know, or maybe Alex Smith goes down, even though he's like never usually goes down except for when Colin Kaepernick came in. You know, if Patrick Mahomes, maybe I see Travis Kelce being like this Gronkowski type where he can be a red zone threat. But until they change something at the quarterback position, he's not going to be better than Gronkowski.
Alex Smith's career high in touchdowns was 23 touchdowns back in 2013. I will say this. He doesn't throw very many interceptions. He hasn't thrown double-digit interceptions since 2010. But, yeah, he doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns, and we know that. But Maclin is not there. They don't have any other threat besides Kelce. And you know what? I don't even care if he only catches 5 touchdowns. If he's putting up 1,100 yards – again, 85 catches for 1,100 yards a game. I'm going to be absolutely thrilled with that.
Listen, I'm not saying that Travis Kelce is your tight end. That's like a terrible move. I'm just saying I wouldn't take him as the first tight end off the board.
I think he takes a step up this year. So we're gonna disagree on that one.
Yeah, we're going to disagree. apparently, I had no idea we would disagree so hardly on Travis Kelce. Like, you know, I thought we would disagree elsewhere, and you just keep surprising me. But then we have Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, Tyler Eifert, Delanie Walker, Zach Ertz, Jack Doyle, and Hunter Henry and Martellus Bennett, excuse me, rounding out the top 12. You know, personally, I don't see really much of a difference here in my rankings. I do like Jack Doyle better than Zach Ertz. And in fact, I like Hunter Henry better than Zach Ertz as well. So I have Zach Ertz as my 11, and I have Hunter Henry as my 9th. So that's about where I have them. But that's about the only real difference here. I like the order. Tyler Eifert's a guy I'll probably avoid just because I really hate his health issues. But I know when he's on the field, he's a red zone threat. So he has potential to score a lot of touchdowns for you. What about you? Any big differences here?
Not against what we have in the sleeper wire rankings, I would say. I don't like Martellus Bennett, and it has nothing to do with him being a former Patriot. Let me tell you. No, it's Aaron Rodgers doesn't use the tight end.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. So I don't think he's going to finish anywhere close to the top 12. I've actually got Cameron Brate in there at 12, and the sleepwire rankings have him down at number 18 after O.J. Howard, which I think is a mistake. I think Brate's going to have a better season because O.J. Howard is still a rookie. Winston already has that rapport with Brate, so that's not going to just go away. I have Zach Ertz at 8. I really like Zach Ertz this year. If you go back and listen to the Zach Ertz versus Kyle Rudolph great debate, that was a pretty good one. Got a lot of good thoughts for Zach Ertz in there.
Yeah, you know, Cameron Brate's a guy I really like, too. I could see him moving up. I could probably move him up to the 12th spot, too, just because when you look at the names, Eric Ebron, Julius Thomas, Austin Hooper, Kobe Fleener, and O.J. Howard that are ranked before Cameron Brate, I don't see myself taking any of those guys, including Martellus Bennett, over Cameron Brate. So that's a good call. I think I could move him up there in my personal rankings, too. But, yeah, I know you're high on Zach Ertz. You know, I know you just did a recent great debate with Zach Ertz and Kyle Rudolph. And I'm sorry, but I completely side with Kyle Rudolph there just because I think opportunity is so much greater for Kyle Rudolph than it is for Zach Ertz, especially this year with the amount of weapons they signed to the Eagles. So
yeah, and I do have Kyle Rudolph ahead.
Yeah.
I've got him at 6, which agrees with our sleeper wire rankings as well.
Right. So, well, I hate to say this because I think this was a really good show. I think that, you know, pat yourself on the back over there, Chris. I think, you know, I'm doing it now. Go ahead.
I've been doing it ever since we started the show. It's how I keep my morale up.
Yeah. Well, can you take the stick out of your ass, too?
No. That's permanently stuck there.
So. but this was a lot of fun. I think this was very informative for you guys. Gave you a little taste of the rankings, but there's so much more going on with the rankings. Maybe we'll revisit sometime soon when we have an opening in the schedule. Maybe we can go further beyond the 12, because I think that if there's anything, there's a lot more question marks beyond the 12 that me and Chris could really dive deeper into with our personal rankings. I mean, like I said, if we had more time, I'd love to keep talking about, you know, why I have Carlos Hyde as my 28th running back. Not that I don't think I need to give you, the listeners who have listened to us, you know, that much information about why I feel that way. Especially when he gets cut, forget it, he won't even be there. As
we well, and before. We also did that Sleepers and Bust episode a few weeks ago, and Carlos Hyde was your bust.
Exactly. Right. Yes. That's why I'm saying, if people have been listening, they know why I don't like Carlos Hyde, because they've heard that episode.
Just want to let everybody know, the rankings, I will be continuing to update them on the website throughout the offseason, throughout preseason. Preseason, I'll probably be doing them every week. I think I've been doing about every 2 or 3 weeks. Up until now, and also during the season, they get updated every week, every single Wednesday.
We make everything as accessible to the fans as possible, including reaching out to us and asking questions and trying to interact with us. So that's what we love. We love fan interaction. We love talking to you guys because, you know, you guys do a lot for us, like listen to the show and download and, you know, making donations to Rob to help him with this cause. So with you guys giving back to us, we want to give back to you, you know? So we are part of the Sleeper Bot app, and subscribe to the Sleeper Wire channel. because that's where you can interact with us the most. You know, we are available just about 24/7. We can answer your questions. We can, you know, maybe rate your drafts. We can give you advice of waivers once the season begins. Tons of things available at your fingertips through your phone. So, guys, download the Sleeperbot app, Sleeperbot, one word, and you download it and you subscribe to the Sleeperwire channel. And that's how you guys can communicate with us the best.
Yeah, you can go to our website, sleeperwire.com. There's a place where you can submit questions. We're also on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. Nick is on there at Sleeperwire Nick. I'm on there at CMOR Sleeperwire. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Professor Chris SW. I'm on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris, the Fantasy Life at Professor Chris, and Nick is on there at SW Nick on Sleeperwire. Sleeperwire Nick on Fantasy Life.
Yep, that's right. For Chris and our producer Steve, I'm Nick Summerlin saying so long, everybody. Good night.
Peace.